All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the I Love Changing Lives show. And whether you're listening to this on podcast, seeing it on YouTube, or even on Facebook, I want to say welcome and that I appreciate you being here and giving up your time. I'm going to make sure that it is as valuable as I can possibly make it. Those of you watching on video can see that I am rocking out the beard at the moment. First time, man, in almost 7 years I've grown a beard. Last time was when I hiked through Nepal for 3.5 weeks, but it's definitely a lot grayer than it was 7 years ago. I don't even know if I had gray hair 7 years ago. I probably had hair as well too. But before I get too distracted, today's show and episode is all about building a real business. Now that might sound silly to some of you, but I can't believe how many people that I talk to or work with or that reach out to me, and they don't really ever have an actual, what I would call, real business set up. And I have to get to work in our initial call, or when we initially start working together, when they jump into my programs, to help them actually get clear on what a real business is and either what's missing or what they need to put in place to start building one. And what I wanted to do in this episode is to dive into what I would call a real business, and I guess my definition for it, and what are the things that I'm looking for when I'm thinking about a real business or wanting to build a real business. And hopefully you guys get some value out of each of these points, and maybe you can relate to where you're at right now in your business or what you're trying to work towards, or maybe, you know, what's missing and what you've got to start looking at creating in order to create a real business. Okay, so the first thing we want to do is we want to define what a real business really is. And for me, it comes down to two distinct things, right? And it's realistically, it's building a business based around a purpose, or it serves people to solve a problem. So I'll give you my complete definition, right? It's building a business that serves a purpose and solves a problem, right? That's number one. So it has to serve a purpose in terms of fixing a problem, providing a service, giving somebody a product to solve something, providing them with information or tools that they can take and implement. It has to serve a purpose. And for me, a real business solves a problem, right? And I'll give you an example, right? People build businesses around knickknacks, right? You know, those fidget spinners, right? They were everywhere. I don't know if they were, depending on where you are in the world, but in Australia and even in the US, they were everywhere. Every shop had them. And there were all these little stands set up, these little businesses set up to sell fidget spinners. And for me, it didn't really serve a purpose, except maybe for those of us that have ADD like me. Yes, I have multiple fidget spinners, right? But it didn't really solve a problem, right? It was a cool little knickknack. It was a cool thing to distract me, but it didn't really solve a problem. And where is a fidget spinner now, right? That was only last year. They're gone, disappeared, right? And you see those sort of things all the time. So that's why that was my first definition, right? It has to ultimately serve a purpose and then solve a problem. And for you, I want you to start thinking about what problem either you do solve now or that you could solve that is always going to be a problem. It's why I've always liked the weight loss market. It's why I've always liked helping entrepreneurs in business, because there's always entrepreneurs in business. And in the US alone, what did I read the other day? It was mind-blowing. It was like 11 million businesses in the US fail a year. Yeah, like, that's crazy, right? That's a problem. It's a really big problem. So for me, I want to be connecting my solution to an area where I know there's always going to be a consistent problem. Same with people overeating and putting on weight and getting heavier and, you know, living more unhealthy lifestyles. That's always going to be a problem, right? So start thinking about where your business sits right now in terms of the problem it solves and the market that has the largest problem that is always going to be a problem for you to solve. That was a mouthful. I hope it made sense. All right. Second thing I look at in terms of defining what is a real business, all right, is that it provides you with what you need to do for what you want. I'm going to say that again, make sure it's clear. The business is set up to provide you as the owner with what you need to be able to do what you want. Now, I know that might sound backwards for some of you, but hopefully I can break it down in its simplest form. If you are running a business right now that doesn't provide you with a wage or a profit or that anything that you can draw out that provides you, your family, those of you that you know are in your life with what you want, then what's the point? I talk about it all the time, but running a business for the sake of running a business, like besides wasting a crap load of time for the potential, what's the point? And it's a reality check. I'm not saying there isn't a period in time in most businesses where you're probably not going to be making a lot of money and it probably isn't going to be providing you with what you want. But ultimately, is it getting closer to that? Is that vision coming to life? Are you moving closer each and every day? Or are you just spinning your wheels and you've been running this thing now for a year, 2 years, 10 years, you know, and it's never really provided you with what you want? And if anything, you've sunk more money into the business than you got back out. All right, that's a real legit problem that most business owners face. I would say it would be majority of business owners face. So for me, a definition of a real business is a business that can provide for you the way that you want it to based on what you want and the lifestyle that you want to live. All right, I'm gonna back that up with one of my further points as we work through each of these, okay? So hopefully that resonates with you. Remember the first one, it serves a purpose and solves a problem. Second one, it provides you with what you need to live the life that you want, okay? That's the purpose of a business. Otherwise, go work for somebody that you can just clock in and clock out and have enough money to what you want to do outside of work. So many people get excited about creating a business that ends up being more than a full-time job and costs them money and doesn't give them anything back in return. But in the beginning, it sounded like a great idea, right? And I know that's a big generalization, but I'm sure a lot of you can relate and connect to that. All right, for me, when I'm looking at a real business, right, and I'm looking at either setting up a new business or helping somebody with their business, for me, it all starts with the why and the who, okay? Like, why do I want to get into this particular market, or why do I want to provide this type of a solution? And then the who is, who do I ultimately want to help, and why do I want to help that group of people over another group of people? Why do I want to help these particular individuals solve this particular problem? All right, because if you don't have clarity around that, and you don't have excitement, you don't have passion and purpose, and I know those are words that get thrown out all the time, but for me, it's true. Like, if it doesn't excite me to go and help this particular group of people, again, what is my business built upon? Like, it's a good idea. It's like a lot of people that get into franchises because they hear franchises are more exciting, but they just got into franchise to be in business. They didn't get into that franchise because they wanted to be selling that thing or anything else. And I'm talking about the owner operators here. I'm not talking about the investors that invest in franchises and, you know, they're offhand from the day to day, right? Two different scenarios. But I really want you to think about how much you're connected to your who and your why, and in multiple different facets, right? From the why you want to be doing this to why you want to be spending the time to the who you want to be helping and why you want to be helping them. Getting clear on all of those different aspects and how your business is providing for those people and that why at the highest level possible. Because if you're not clear on that, the business doesn't really have direction. It doesn't really serve a purpose. It doesn't really solve a problem. Remember, those are my two main definitions. That was the first definition in terms of what is a real business. So I want you to focus on that first. Once you're clear on that, then it becomes a lot easier to work out the what and the how, okay? So what are we gonna provide these people with and how are we going to help them? What does our product look like, our program look like, our service look like? What do we include in it and how do we deliver it? How do we provide it? How do we help people with it? How do we deliver it? Like, all of these different aspects, all right? Most people get stuck on the how. They wanna help a certain group of people, but then they're not sure how, so then they don't start, or they find one how, that how doesn't work, and then they give up and they never build a real business because they started the wrong way around. They didn't start with the why and the who. They started with the how and the what. All right, now I want you guys to realize that one can't really come before the other very successfully. All right, you have to have that connection to the why and the who initially to ultimately be able to create, provide, and then deliver the what and the how at the level that we want to be able to generate the level of success and results that we want for our who and for our why, right? For me, why? Ultimately, to be able to provide for myself and my family and to be able to help other people do the same for themselves and their families, right? It's why I've always been in the service-based business, because whether it's been health or fitness, it's had an onflow effect to families. Now working with business owners and entrepreneurs, the more success I help them create, the more impact it makes on their lives and the lives of the clients that they help. And for me, I love being involved in something that has that level of scale, okay? So let's get that clear. Next thing you wanna look at is your business set up to survive or to struggle, okay? And most of you, if I asked you if you'd set your business up to survive or struggle, all right, to thrive or to struggle, you know, which way around it would be. Most of you would say that, you know, my business is set up to survive. It's set up to thrive, of course. It's not set up to struggle, but yet why have you been struggling for so long? And when we start looking at basic things like your price point or your sales process or your average lifetime per customer or your retention systems or your attrition, right? How long, how often people cancel your service or product or program. And we start to break down the reality, right? Tangible things that we can measure. And you look at that and you can see, well, this is the reason why you're still struggling, but yet in your mind, you didn't set it up to struggle. And there can be a big disconnect there. I've had people in tears on calls with me, and when I've had to really break it down for them in a practical sense for them to look at, because they just couldn't connect the two. They couldn't see that how they set things up, everything that they'd be working for was literally set up and designed to keep them in struggle town, right? Their profit margins were so small, and out of their profit margins, after they paid staff and everything else, they had to pay all their expenses, and then they had to pay their rent, and then they had to pay their taxes and everything else, and they were left with next to nothing. But on paper, they were providing their staff with a good wage, and they looked like they were looking after a lot of clients, or they were running a successful business because they were building a bigger team. But yet profit, money left over in the bank at the end of the day, was zero, often negative, often loans attached to the account or credit cards. All right, and now you're servicing the debt. And now by servicing the debt and cash flow never really increasing because your profit margin stays the same regardless of how big you get, you can see you've literally designed your business up to struggle, all right? And my biggest aim whenever I'm working with a business is to alleviate that straight away, is to set them up with a model that doesn't or that isn't designed to struggle, that allows them to grow exponentially, that isn't filled with bottlenecks and can't be leveraged or scaled based on either the profit, the cash flow, the average dollar sale, the lifetime value, the rate of attrition, all of these different metrics that are tangible and measurable that you can look at any stage in your business. Just often as entrepreneurs, we're afraid to, or we're almost voluntarily ignorant around it. Like things are good, things are fine until we put them on paper and measure them, all right? And this isn't to make you feel bad. It might be a reality check for some of you, but it's a legit question that, you know, I often ask, like, when I'm on a call with somebody, do you like headbutting a wall? Like, do you wanna be in pain? And their answer is always no. Well, then why are we setting this up this way? Why would you not have these certain things in place? Why would you not be charging more, providing more value? Why have 10 services when you can own one and do it better than everyone else and increase your profit margin for that one service? So you need less people who pay you more money, giving you more leverage and more profitability, right? I know that sounds simple, but it often is that simple. So try and look at that or answer that question for yourself, all right? The second part to that is, do you have a clear growth strategy around profit? Okay. I'm going to say that again. Do you have a clear growth strategy around profit? So often I hear people talking about, we made $30,000 in sales. I made 10 sales this month at $1,000. You know, we did all of these things. The business has grown. We've got 200 clients now. All right. Or the program's the biggest it's ever been. We've sold out. But yet, the profit hasn't changed. They're either paying more people, they've hired more team members, they've decreased their price to make more sales, and they've destroyed their profit margin. They haven't accounted for tax. They haven't paid themselves a wage. So they're counting the cash flow as their cash flow, but yet they haven't actually given themselves a wage yet before tax. So start thinking about what your growth strategies are around profit. And the things that I like to think about around that are, what are the bottlenecks in your business? Like at the moment, what's your capacity? How many people can one person or one team member look after? Or can you personally look after until it gets to the point of no returns, like diminishing returns, right? Either you're too fatigued, you don't have enough energy, or you don't have the room to fit somebody in. So you might be diluting your program by providing it to too many people or whatever that might be. Like have a look at where the bottlenecks might be in your business. And often they'll come around staff, they'll come around price point, they'll come around capacity, you know, either in the location you're in or the business you have or the amount of people you can fit into your schedule during a week or the hours that you have available or into your program or how many products you have available to sell, right? All of those things are bottlenecks. So have a look at what some of those bottlenecks are and have a look at the strategies and systems you've got to either alleviate them or to adjust what you've got to make sure that you never hit that bottleneck. Or if you're there now and you haven't grown in a long time, I would probably say you're at that stage in your business right now. So it's about going to your model, your price point, your service delivery, your capacity, you know, looking at the different growth strategies that you can implement or adjust based on your current model to get through that bottleneck, okay? Next thing you want to look at, where can you create leverage? So either by employing a team member that is income producing. If I employ that person now who can do income producing activities, that buys back my time to also do more income producing activities, right? Focusing on my marketing, reaching out to clients, building new programs, whatever it is that can be income producing in terms of it can provide you or your business with an ROI, right? A return on investment. If you can do that, right now suddenly I've created leverage because I've got two people now that are able to do income producing activities. All right, when I hire an admin person or I hire a cleaner or I hire somebody like that, I've got to understand that there's no direct ROI on that stuff except that it buys back my time. And if by buying back my time helps me create more income opportunities or a higher ROI in terms of service delivery, price point, reaching out and creating more business opportunities or income streams, no problem. But that's where you've got to look at it in your business and how can I create more leverage? How can I go from helping people one-on-one to perhaps providing a great service to 8 people at a time, 10 people at a time? And I've gone through this process myself. I have a very small group of clients that I still work with one-on-one. Everybody else now in my new program is in a group program. They have access to online portals. They have their own coach that they work with one-on-one who's a part of my team, but I'm not delivering it one-on-one. And the main reason is not because I'm over one-on-one. It's because it had a bottleneck. There was only so many people I could fit in during the week and still maintain the lifestyle I wanted to. And there was a limit to how many people I could ultimately help. Which for me, that means that there's a limit to how many people that those that I can help. I hope that makes sense, right? So I'm not able to have as big an impact with my current model, right? It just didn't make sense. It was a bottleneck and I needed to work out how to create leverage, but still provide the level of intimacy results and solve the problem at a high enough level for me to be able to grow my business and feel great about it, okay? So start thinking about where you and your business fits in around that, right? And what I want you to also think about, and this can have a negative mindset for some people, but I think it's, you have to look at your business in this light at some stage, right? And I'll give it to you now. It's, what are the minimum expenses to achieve the maximum output? sometimes we get delusioned as entrepreneurs that we need to provide a level of service or a level of intimacy, and we need more staff to be able to do that. And we're often not very clever in terms of how we do it. We just recruit more manpower in order to be able to do it. I hope that makes sense, right? Like, I'm hiring more staff to allow myself to maintain a level of intimacy or what I want, but like I talked about, there's that point of diminishing returns. That cost to me maybe only has a certain amount of income producing activities, and the level of cost versus income it can provide for my business is maybe nullified, right? So it becomes an extra expense to the business, whereas I might have been able to provide that level of intimacy or connection or results or whatever, coaching, whatever it might be, without necessarily hiring that many people or allowing for that many man hours to do a certain task. All right, and it's just optimizing what you're doing, right? Like, if I'm constantly taking on more and more expenses as I grow, that affects my margin, which again affects me being able to have the level of profit to provide for the life that I want. And this is not selfish. Like I said, it's the definition of a real business, is to be able to provide you with what you want while solving a real problem for people, right? That's the niche in the area that I love to be in and love to help people with. But at some point, do I need the office space? Do I need to be renting out? Do I need a subscription to all these different things? Do I need to be buying these programs? Do I need to be, you know, where do I sit in all of these different things in terms of being able to provide the maximum output for the minimum expense? Okay. And there's some things that I would never not pay for, right? There's things in terms of your delivery. There's things in terms of your time management. There's things in terms of your accountability as a business owner, right? Either with your coach or your mentor group or a buddy of yours, or, you know, whatever you might be a part of that holds you accountable. For me, that is a minimum expense to help you create the maximum output. But for your business, have a look at each layer of it and what you're providing and where your capacity can go to based on the minimum expenses, all right? Because there is no point in growing a business. And I've seen this, right? I've had clients of mine that were making $1 million a year and making $7,000 in profit, all right? Like, do you understand the logistics it takes for a certain business to earn $1 million a year? It's huge. Right? The amount of team members, the amount of crap, the amount of accounting, bookkeeping, back-end admin, like all of this different stuff, to be left with a $7,000 profit. Yeah, they paid themselves a wage, but it wasn't a lot. I think it was like barely six figures. And they're left with $7,000 profit to take out of the business. Versus I have other businesses that might only be making 500 grand, but out of the 500 grand a year, they're making $300,000 in profit. Right? So you really got to have a look at your current model. And again, look at those bottlenecks. Think about leverage. Think about everything that you're trying to create and provide for you and your family, as well as your clients. All right? But there is no point in being in business longer term if my growth is limited by my expenses, if my profit margin is constantly going to decrease, or it doesn't have the opportunity to increase. So you hear terms like, I'm happy with a 30% profit margin, or I'm happy with a 17% profit margin. I mean, are you really? Like, if I said, here's $1 million, but you got to give me 900,000 of that right now, would you feel good about that? Would you? I guarantee you wouldn't. But suddenly in business, when we look at our numbers and we see all this stuff, we like justify it with these accounting terms like, hey, that's a good, you know, rate of return or whatever else. And I'm like, but is it really? You know, have you set yourself up to optimize the level of return you could get? Like I said, I want to plant some seeds in your mind. Okay, next main point here is focus on less and be fucking awesome at it. All right. Yes, I dropped the F-bomb. But what I mean by that is too many people try and provide for too many people. All right. Like, your business is set up to try and cater to 3, 4, 5, 6 different demographic age groups, problems, you know, things that you're trying to solve. And you're trying to please everybody, but you're not owning one thing. You don't have a niche of people that 100% identify with your solution, that they connect with your solution, and they're like, man, if you need this, go see that person. Right? And the reason why they're not doing that is because you haven't told them that that's what you own, because you're focused on too many different things. And look, after being out of the fitness industry for what, almost 5 years, when we had a group of people approach us to open up and be a part of, you know, a big fitness business and potentially maybe a franchise, you know, I had to look at what area of the market do we want to own? What do I want to focus on, right? And after being in the industry for 22 years, I know that majority of people in this industry are women. So why don't we just own that, right? There aren't great strength training programs for women. There just aren't, right? Most of them are, again, they're trying to cater to everything, your booty and your this and your 6 minute abs and all of this different shit, right? But they're not actually providing a solution for women who don't feel comfortable, don't want to go to the gym, but they hate how they look and feel, right? So for us, that's what we decided to focus on. And our entire program for that particular business is based around, you know, 3 or 4 core things, but we only have one solution. That's it, with 2 different price points. I'm not trying to cater to anybody else. Could we? Sure. Could we start adding this and adding that and doing that? And yeah, of course we could. But history's told me that the more I do that, the further I get in terms of owning one thing and being a specialist. It's the same reason why you go to a doctor, right? And they are a general practitioner. They are able to solve multiple problems. But what does a general practitioner get paid versus a heart surgeon who specialized in, you know, cardiothoracic for 15 years and that's all they've done? And they're able to command whatever price. Their reputation supersedes itself because everybody knows that's the heart guy. That's where I go if you got a heart issue. And guess what? Most of the time, the general practitioner is the one who refers you to the heart specialist. You got to go to him to get a referral to go see the specialist, right? And think about how you might be doing the same thing in your business. You're trying to cater to too many people. You're trying to provide too many different solutions to too many different groups or demographics that you're not owning one thing and then getting really fucking awesome at it, right? Like, I mean, really awesome at it. And the best way for me to know that somebody is great at what they do, it's the results that they provide and it's the way that they've been able to grow their business from the inside out, right? Like organically, via social media, all of those things is growing from the organic reputation. There you go, really complicated, right? The organic reputation that these guys are having that, hey, if you've got this problem, go see these people, right? And for me, in every one of my businesses that have gotten to the, you know, 7-figure level or the multiple high level 6 figures, that's what we've been great at. We've owned one thing. And as an entrepreneur who suffers from ADD and shiny object syndrome, it's been hard for me to rein that in. But what I can tell you is every time I do, the results speak for themselves, and the amount of space and freedom I have in my mind and in my business also speaks for itself versus always being busy trying to cater to too many people but never really owning anything. All right. The only other point I had around that was just decide what you want to own and be the best at it. Like, be the best at one thing. Like, whatever that is, whether you're in the fat loss market, whether you're in the ladies only market, whether you're in the health market, whether you're in the financing, real estate, property management, relationship coaching, whatever it is, like, decide on what it is that you want to own and be the best at it. And then own that you are the best at it, right? So often we're not, but I mean, if I literally have dedicated X amount of time to one particular thing, I am already in the top 1% of people that can help somebody with that thing, right? Because I've specialized in it. That's what I do. It's what I help people with. It's why for me now, I'm able to identify where the biggest holes are in somebody's business or their program straight away. Because one, I've done it myself for over 20 years. And two, I've helped hundreds of people with it that now I have a different perspective. I see things that people don't see because that's what I've dedicated my time to. And I know that's the same for a lot of you that have done the same thing, or maybe there's one thing out of everything that you're doing that you do that with that you just need to focus on and get rid of the other stuff. All right. Next thing, we only have 2 more points here, right? building a real business, and the definition of that for me is it's filled with the types of clients that we want to work with, that we can build real relationships with. When I say real relationships, right, like the relationship goes beyond the service, it goes beyond the product, it goes beyond the coaching call, it goes beyond the Facebook group, right? These are the sort of people where if I go to that town, I'm going to go visit their business, or I'm going to go take them out to dinner. When I go on holiday with some of them, we'll invite them, right? Because they're filled with the types of people that I ultimately want to surround myself with, that I want to help, that I connect with, that I love to be around. And I know that might sound silly, but if you don't like your customers and you're constantly giving your customers shit that this person's here and I'm sick of having, you know, these people who pay me X amount or whatever else, right? And we badmouth people based on the price point or what they do, but yet you're the one that sells that price point and provides them with that. There's a disconnect there, right? Like, I'm not saying you're going to love everybody, but I would want to look at my business and say that, you know what? Majority of the people in my business are exactly the types of people that I want to turn up and see every day, that I want to pick up the phone and have a chat to, that if I'm sitting back after an event or after a session or after a coaching call, I want to keep talking to them and they want to keep talking to me, because we built a relationship, which then leads to referrals, which then leads to, again, growing from the inside out. And what level of connection, respect, and intimacy do you think you're able to create with people that you like versus people that you don't like? Okay, it's a no-brainer, right? But yet, suddenly we don't set our business up to say no to the people we don't want, but to create and set it up in a way to attract the ones we do want. And I've talked about this in many different episodes, but for me, it's a great indicator that if I hear somebody's languaging is bitching and moaning about their clients, then I know that right now they don't have a real business, because their business is just filled with the people that are happy to pay them money. There's no relationship side of things there at a good enough level yet, okay? Last point here is that for me, and I love this, and I want to challenge you with this thought, all right? A real business, all right? The definition, my last definition of a real business is it has to be the type of business that you can fire yourself from the day to day. If your business is set up and it's so attached to you and what you can personally deliver and what you can personally provide somebody with, what happens when you want to fire yourself? You don't have a business anymore. You don't have anybody else who can do it the way that you can or who can provide what you can provide. And suddenly now you don't have a business. You have a glorified job. And that might sound harsh, but it is the truth. And I've been caught in that world before myself, right? One of the first coaching programs I ever set up, which was for fitness business coaches, I had a couple of coaches that worked for me and they were great at what they did. But the problem is I had built all of the relationships around what I could provide, around how I could help people. And people didn't want to work with my other coaches, right? And I had to do a lot of work to even be able to turn people in that direction, because I'd set things up the wrong way around. I didn't make it about the solution. I made it about me. Okay, and I want you to realize that you could be in the same boat right now. And if you can't, or your business currently isn't set up to be able to fire yourself, or you can't see a way for you to be able to fire yourself from the day-to-day within your business, you got to go back to those bottlenecks. You got to go back to that leverage. You've got to look at the who and the why to then create the how and the what. You have to start thinking about, what purpose does your business serve and what problem does it solve, and how can you still solve that problem, right, while serving a purpose, right, or without it being you who's doing it? And then how can you create the maximum amount of results with the minimum amount of expense? All right, so again, like always, I recommend, guys, that if you haven't taken notes, if you want to go back and listen to this and just work out what you connect with, or maybe where you're at right now in your business. And if there's anything I can do to help either identify where you are in your business or to guide you in the right way in terms of how to move forward, to get through the bottleneck, to create leverage, to look at your model, to start generating a higher level of profit and freedom, to ultimately be able to fire yourself and still make money, all right, then reach out to me, you know, email me at adam@adammckenzie.net or send me a Facebook message, and I'm happy to jump on a free call and dive into each of these things with you to look at your model and to really work out, you know, what's either missing or what do we need to put in place to start turning this into a real business, all right? Whether you've been watching me on YouTube, Facebook, I appreciate your time. If you've been listening to this on podcast, again, I appreciate your time and I hope you gain a lot from it. And I look forward to connecting with you guys next week. Bye.